Plot, Lemon, 2017. A man watches his life unravel after he is left by his girlfriend of 10 years. Voice over off.
When you're blind and watching movies, what will you find? A blind superhero whose superpowers are acting like he's not blind. A sighted actor over dramatically touching people's faces. And maybe the whole joke is that they're bumping into different places. A spectacular, macular.
Welcome to Citizen White Kane, the podcast that looks at the blind side of movies. My name is Sky McLeod.
And I'm Melissa Buckta.
And today we are talking about Lemon. That's what it's called.
Lemon. Limon.
Yeah. Yep.
Great minds think alike.
Exactly. Citrone, I think is the German.
Nice. I like it.
It is...
Ooh, it's a movie that exists.
We're going to make lemonade on this podcast.
We're going to try hard. Very hard. So hard. I think this might be the first movie ever that I don't think I can muster a single positive thing to say.
We watch Not Cool. Come on.
That's true. Okay, that's true.
We have watched two.
But even in Not Cool, I found like one positive thing.
Remind me what that was.
The actor, Drew Munson.
Oh, okay. Just like a positive. Well, come on, though. There's like a million great people in this movie.
That's true. Okay. My one positive thing is I did enjoy watching...
So
many great actors and so many funny people that I enjoy.
Yeah, so...
But even that does not make this a good movie.
I mean, yeah, no, it doesn't make it a good movie at all. It's kind of sad because you just watch a lot of really, really great people that I love a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I feel so let down. This is kind of like a My Blind Brother situation, but at least My Blind Brother has a plot and is tolerable. And if I was pushed, I would watch that again.
Yeah.
I never want to see this movie ever again.
Well, it centers around Brett Gelman, which I believe is the first... is just the reason why this movie is terrible. And also why I realized there was a movie that the main character is Brett Gelman. I was like, that sounds terrible. It sounds like someone who's like very misogynistic. Because he, I don't know if he is in real life. I don't think he is, but he is typecasted.
Yeah, as
like
these,
as this dude, like the douchiest, most like just basically as like toxic masculinity, worst human being on earth. I've seen him in so many things, and he is never playing someone who is not that exact
unfortunately,
character.
Unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately,
he's not in this movie. No. Playing a different character either.
a lot of people when they fit inside that box are cast to type. Unfortunately, that's just
right.
How it is.
I mean, he does a good job at it, but it's it's one of those things where that's why he is never the main character in things.
Right.
He is always, like, the antagonistic, like, terrible person that you just get to watch the main character destroy by the end.
Right. Well, and here's the thing about this movie. It's weird because the acting in this movie is not bad.
The actors
are doing great. With what they're given, they're doing a really great job. They're playing their characters to the hilt. Every time someone opened their mouth and started to speak... I was bored and frustrated and angry.
Well, because it's just like you're just watching kind of a bunch of terrible people too. Because it's like most of the characters are terrible people, but like Brett Gelman's definitely the worst of them all. But
right.
You're only really watching him interact with other people.
And
the whole time.
I love shows with terrible people. You know, I love and movies. You know, I love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Difficult People, Schitt's Creek, like all of these shows, you know.
Well, all TV is like terrible people because of a weird thing that like you're supposed to have like characters that make their own mistakes, and so you have all these like Yeah, I don't know. This is a whole other discussion.
Sure. But okay, those might have been bad examples, but still. But like,
those are great shows.
But yes. Like, I will watch things with terrible people in them. Yeah. Like that doesn't bother me. His character can be awful and misogynistic and stuff, but it doesn't go anywhere. This movie feels like it is chasing its tail and it never catches
Conrad
up.
Conrad was like, I think that like the film school thing to do is to have him change by the end. And I was like, I don't think so. I think the film school thing to do is to have him not change at all. And that's why I'm already mad that this movie exists. And I was correct. He doesn't change at all.
No. And I'm not even mad at that. Like, I'm not mad that his character doesn't change at all.
Well,
because
he's, like, terrible, and you're not like, oh, I want him to be redeemed. It's like, no, I just want him to go away and stop watching a movie about him.
Right. I didn't need to see this character be redeemed. You know, I would have felt more satisfied if this character is left behind, and he kind of is. So so I did feel a little satisfied with the ending, but the journey that was taken to get there... This is another one of those, I want my hour and a half back.
Yeah.
But I'll never get it back.
It's like we're watching a movie where we're following the antagonist. It's like kind of even not that fun to watch. Like you just really want to see.
And yet, Brett Gelman's performance is so oddly captivating.
He's like schmarmy.
So schmarmy. Like I did keep watching.
It's like my blood pressure raises every time Brett Gelman's on screen though a little bit, like it just seems like
I mean
he's great at what he does. I just every single character he plays is just really the worst human being on earth, like just all in one. It's like you take every bad character trait and put it in one human.
I did have to keep pinching myself to force myself to keep going, basically.
Yeah.
And that progress bar and me became real good friends.
Yeah.
By the end of this.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
We were watching on the TV and you have to pause to see the progress bar, but I was just like, oh God, I hope this is the end. I hope this is the end. I hope this is the end. And I think I did that like 7 times. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it was the end.
Yeah. Well, and then unfortunately with Judy Greer's character.
There's a blind character in this movie.
Yeah, believe it or not, there's a blind character in this movie. With Judy Greer's character, I kept asking myself, why is this character blind? Immediately from like the first time they started talking, I was like, okay, but why is she blind? And then I was like, that's never a good sign if I have to ask. Like, why is she blind?
The assumption is like, I mean, we don't watch movies where characters are blind just because that's an identity you can have.
Right, exactly.
So that, I guess, is like, that is the first problem, is that movies, you have to have a reason for a character to be disabled.
Right, which technically you shouldn't.
Right.
We should just see ourselves on screen as normal people. So I guess in that respect it's good, but you still cast a sighted actress
actress. That's the problem number one. And then like on top of that, I felt like she was blind for a problematic reason, kind of.
Sure.
Because she's like, I kind of saw her as being like, in the same way, actually, that the blind character is not cool. Like, that was what I thought about, was, like, the idea that you paint a picture of someone who's so terrible that, like, even a blind woman
can't handle you. Yeah.
Like, that was what it felt like the message to me was. And I, like, thought a lot about, like, and Conrad was like, I didn't read that. I thought it was just like, she's a cool blind person. And so that's, but I mean, in film school, there's a lot of, like, how do you create a good foil for your character? Mm-hmm. Like, what can you do to really put in contrast your, protagonist's flaws or something, and so felt like that could be part of it.
Right. And he's constantly shown to be less capable than she is.
Right.
She has her motherfucking shit together.
Right. Which is just, it seems like it's like how, a blind woman with a job and her shit together
who's traveling
around
all the time.
Yeah. Like stuff that like doesn't, like, we don't always get those opportunities, but it's like, oh, haha, how funny, because a blonde person wouldn't get these opportunities, which is, I guess, true. But, like, also, it did feel like he's such a fuck-up that he is, like, really terrible in comparison to this disabled woman. Which, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it's... I don't know if that's like me just reading in ableism, you know, that thing where it's just if you're part of a marginalized group, you kind of, you see oppression where it is, but you also, you also will see it maybe where it's not. So I don't know if that was the intention of it. I mean, in Not Cool, it seemed a lot more overt than like the, in this movie, like that it was, it's really felt like it was supposed to be like this blind person is so capable, like, and that's so funny that a blind woman would be capable, whereas this one I think it's like I had to read more into it, but at the same time it's not all that different. Like it's still the same basic construction. Mm-hmm. But like I don't know, I mean it's just like, what wouldn't it be, how could you be such a terrible person you can't even get this disabled woman to stay with you? Like, that's kind of, I mean, like, why else would she be blind, I guess, other than that? Because it's not like the movie is, I mean, the movie, like, tries to, like, explore different, like, it tries to do a lot. It, like,
there's a lot of
identity things that happen that you're not really, you just are like,
At one point, because Judy Greer leaves him, Brett Gelman dates, well, Isaac, his character's name is Isaac, but he dates this this black woman, who is super nice, and you know
she's like a too LA nice. She's like a can't say no to people is what she seems like.
But also just like how, like what on earth would you be seeing in him anyway? Like why would you date this person?
Right, which was kind of, which was never explained. Because I was like, I get that she like, I mean, I felt like she just kind of was someone who was trying to, she kept trying to hint at, I don't want to date you, and he was not picking up the hints. Right.
Well, her name is Cleo, played by Nia Long. And I mean, she has to deal with all of his
bullshit.
Basically, all of his bullshit. But just like the whole, you know, he's got all of the facts about, you know, black people. He comes off as a white man trying to compensate real hard. And it's cringe-inducing.
It's really bad. And then there's also like more overt racist things where you're like, what, does anyone behave this way? Or he's just like, oh, we're doing accents,
right? And
you're
he asked the character about his accent, and I was like, oh, wait, are you serious?
It's just oh god. And you're like, I mean, of course someone that shitty would be racist, but I don't want to like watch a shitty person being racist to people. Like, I don't know, it's just not fun.
I mean, I, you know, this movie's classified as a comedy, and I guess like you could call it like a dark comedy maybe. But it isn't, like, this feels a little bit, even though it's really hard to make this comparison, and I think I'm taking a huge leap of logic here, but this feels a little bit like Pieles in a sense that everything is so heightened, and yet Pieles works because it is so absurd, but it's played completely straight.
Yeah.
This is, everything is straight, but it's played completely absurd.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Right. It doesn't make sense. It feels like a character study in the way it's paced and stuff. But then you're just like, I don't even know if a person like this exactly exists. Like, you know, like, why? How the fuck did Judy Greer date him for 10 years? Like, how the fuck did someone who is so together and, like, just living a good life, like, put up with his bullshit for so long? And then that she doesn't break up with him for so long, even when she's over it. And that, like, I don't know. There's just a lot of aspects of it where it did feel kind of like, this isn't exactly like a real person. I don't know. Well, like, no, it just didn't feel real.
Because no one feels like real people. Look at Michael Cera. Who is he?
They're like such it's like, it's a character study, but everyone is caricatures of humans, like, and, doesn't work.
Right, and don't get me wrong, I'm on record on this podcast saying I love a good character study. Like, give me a slow ass, real good, like,
but
I can sink my teeth
grounded.
Into. Sure.
Yeah, like, it's just so not grounded. I think that is the problem. And it's also just not, like, a real character. Like, you can't do a character study when it's such a caricature that's so one note.
If I had to watch one more scene of him crying, of him, like, absolutely breaking down,
And what is the point?
I was so done.
What is the point of this movie?
I don't know. I literally, like, at the very end, the credits is literally just one shot of his car getting towed.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
okay,
what did I learn? I don't feel like I came away gaining anything.
You feel like you actually lose him, understanding him as the movie goes on. It's not like you get, like, in that kind of pacing movie, you would want to, like, learn more about who he is as a person. In the end, you just get more confused and, like,
what? I mean, well, and it just, the acting class scenes especially just made me so upset and sad.
We were talking about it. Connor's like, I wonder what Melissa's gonna think of this.
I was riveted. That was the only time, those class scenes were the only time where I was like sitting up actively participating in what was going on, because I've been there before. Like, I've been in those exact situations.
Did it feel true to theater stuff? Because it felt kind of caricature-y.
Oh, yeah, it's very caricatured. No, it's very, very caricatured. But in some sense, yes, because I've known a few actors, like Michael Cera's character.
He's such a dick.
And I've known a few teachers like Brett Gelman's character. And I've been the woman in the class. Yeah. And it's ridiculously.
Oh, Killian Jacobs.
Oh my God. So I just wanted to give her a hug. I'm like, you are an angel and you don't deserve this. And
it's so sad. Like, she's just being abused, basically. Yeah.
And I mean,
there's no reason for it.
No. And I mean, granted, as an actor, like, she signed up for, you know, she knows what she's getting into, but still, it's like watching.
I mean, you shouldn't have to deal with that.
No. But I mean, I'm sure as soon as the cameras turned off, like, everybody came back to normal and is like, you know, okay. But like,
her character, as a person.
Sorry. No, her character, absolutely not. No, there's no, I would have quit that class. I'm like, fuck you. I'm not paying you any more fucking money. You and Alex can go in the back and, like, blow each other, because I don't care anymore.
Yeah. That would make sense, but no. There's a lot of, like, oh my God, Brett Gelman, like, actually, like, terrifyingly, like, threatening. Like, he threatens Judy Greer when they're breaking up, and like actually like murderous, like scary, and she's crying and you're like, yeah, I mean, I would definitely cry in that situation, but it's also terrifying. Like, it's not just it's not like this is an emotionally sad thing. He's like threatening to kill her. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, and it's also just like, that was just, it just felt so terrible, because it was like, I don't think this is supposed to be funny, but like, it seems like you're punching down pretty hard, because you're like threatening to kill a disabled woman.
Well, and when he invites,
for no reason.
Right. And when he invites Alex over to dinner and comes at him with the knife, like, and then throws the cake in his face, and then they have a fight, and I'm just like, is this? I'm not laughing, and I love fucked up shit, but I'm not. I'm not laughing. This isn't funny. I don't see the humor in this.
Yeah, it is, like, it's truly confusing, because it's like, is it coming from, like, a weird sexist? It just, like, it didn't connect at all. Like, it didn't even feel like it fit into some like, kind of narrative about anything. Like, it just was so inexplicable for the whole thing. No one behaved in a way that made any sense.
Nobody except for maybe Judy Greer, except for the ladies in this film, Judy Greer, Cleo, like, nobody, they behaved like actual human beings,
right? Which I think is also one of the weird things about it too, because it's like, you have these male characters acting in such ridiculously nonsense ways, but also like kind of using very, like, actually tapping into seriously scary and abusive things.
Is that the point? Is that what we're trying to say? Like, women, women have it on lock and they have to deal with this bullshit every day, and it's ridiculous.
Which is like, that's not it. To make that funny, I feel like you have to. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's not. It doesn't make it funny. It just, like, sometimes feels kind of scary, and other times, more than anything, you just want the movie to be over.
Right. Well, this movie also brought up thoughts of a movie I like very much called The Art of Self-Defense.
Oh, which I haven't seen.
That's Jesse Eisenberg. God, I can't remember any of the cast, but he plays the main character, and it is about a nebbishy kind of, like, whiny boy who gets beat up horribly and then takes a karate class, and his character totally changes, and it's about the people that he meets and everything, and it's really good. But it is an absolute satire. Like, it is a black comedy. It is a satire. People talk stiltedly. Like, it is like this movie, but it absolutely works,
because it's meant to. It is be because making it's fun of something.
Everything is tongue in cheek.
Right. Whereas this is, but like, it, but not.
It, right. Well, but it's also played straight.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wish I could. It makes me want to watch that movie again. I wish I could tell you, like, better, like, why that movie, in my opinion, why that movie works and this movie didn't.
Well, I think this movie isn't, like, making fun of anything. It's not, like, really tapping into anything real in humanity. Like, it seems kind of film school-y, but then the plot is not.
It is trying.
It doesn't even, like, it, really work at
it
all.
It is trying so hard to be so, like, I am independent cinema. And this, honest to God, this is why people don't want to watch independent cinema. This movie is why people are going to watch, like, superhero movies.
Which is fucking stupid, because it's like, this is not what it has to be at all. Like, I think it's, like, a caricature of itself in a way, but not in, like, not even in, like, a self-aware way. It's, like, a parody of film school, of, you know, I mean, independent movies, whatever. There's, like, I think you can make that stuff work when it's doing something or saying something. It's just this movie had nothing to say but watching an asshole. And, like, that's, I don't even know how much, there's not a lot of mileage that watching a main character who's awful, who you have no respect for, like, people don't want to do that in real life. They, like, if someone's terrible and has no redeeming qualities, you don't want that person in your life. Why would you commit to a movie of an hour and a half of, a shitty person that you probably would just try to avoid in the real world?
And yet, you know, I'm super excited, like, the Best Picture nominees were just announced at the beginning of the week, and I'm so excited to watch The Power of the Dog, which I haven't watched yet, which is nominated for Best Picture. Oh. And Benedict Cumberbatch plays an absolute asshole in that movie, and I'm so very excited to watch.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard because I...
What kind of asshole?
The movie deals with, like, toxic masculinity and homophobia.
Okay. Like, he's homophobic?
Maybe. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
And so I don't want to, like, spoil it or whatever. Okay. But yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but his character might be. But it's a movie about, it takes place in, like, Montana on a ranch, basically, and it's about him and another male character and how they clash.
Okay. But I mean, like, well, okay, so it can work if you have someone who you can relate to in the movie.
Sure.
That can help make it work.
True.
Like, there's not really a lot to, you know, any character that you might relate to is really genuinely sidelined in a lot of ways.
Right. I mean, as a blind person, I don't necessarily relate to Judy Greer's character a whole lot.
We barely meet her at all.
Right.
And she's only seen through his perspective.
Exactly.
Which is, like, she does not want anything to do with him. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of not wanting to have anything to do with the movie. Basically,
right. I don't relate to Cleo's character, not necessarily, except for in the fact that she shouldn't have to put up with this shit. The only character I guess I could truly say I related to is Gillian Jacobs, and she's just a punching bag
for no reason. Yeah. And then there's no real end to that narrative that feels in any way. It's like you just have a lot of people that, like, you either don't get to know or are terrible. And the people who you don't get to know that don't seem terrible are getting abused the whole time and never get the upper hand. So you're just kind of like, oh, it's just like, I don't want to watch this. It's just, yeah, it's just a lot of, I don't want to watch this.
Yep. No, there are so many other movies that are popping into my head that I'm like, that I actually love, that I would like to go back and revisit or that I would prefer to
more
watch
than this movie. Yeah.
Than Lemon. Yeah.
This podcast. Our batting rate is of good movies. Like, I think we do lots of great episodes, but the amount of good movies we talk about is
hard.
Horrible. It's, like, compared to, like, it's the numbers are terrible. Like, we talk about one good movie for every, like, 50 bad movies, and, like, it's depressing.
It's kind of like auditioning. You have to go through 100 of them before you get one.
No, it's just like, I would never do this if we didn't have a podcast, and I am, like, someone who cares a lot about representation of blind people, but I would never fucking object. Like, no one wants to, like, do this to themselves, to watch all these terrible movies, to find the few good ones. In, like, I feel like the few good ones are not, like, easily accessible compared to a lot of the bad ones.
We just have to keep digging.
I guess.
We're gonna find them. There's
those
couple of gems.
We will inevitably find them. It's just, like, so much of the podcast is talking about things that are terrible.
Right. No, when watching something like this, it can feel really just discouraging.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, just, like, first of all, cast blind actors.
Right, right.
That's number exactly. one. Like, well, and just to start with.
Yes. And I mean, and I, you know, we don't, a lot of the movies that we pick, neither of us have seen, which is fun. Like, that's the yeah. fun, like, joy, because you're either going to get something like Pieles or The Way He Looks or Apple of My Eye, or you're going to get Lemon.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know.
And it's the likelihood of it being Lemon is high, but
it's very high
because I think you named every single good movie we've watched.
I would add a few more to that pile, but yeah.
I mean, the
yeah.
documentaries, I always say the documentaries sure. are like, some of them are not well made, some of them are better made, but they're like, it's always fun to watch actual blind people talking. That is fun. But like, the fictional ones, not a great average. it's, yeah. It's just the, I mean, this one, it didn't even have tropes that much. I mean, she reads Braille. That what does
cool.
she do?
That was yeah, nice like, to see.
She has the cane hook. The cane yeah. hook, which Conrad's like, she's got a cane hook. Right, I was like, yeah, because we had a whole yes, discussion.
And she does take it off and put it on the cane hook at one point. I'm just like, oh, that's so cool. She's using a cane hook.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, that was fun.
That was really cool to see.
That, yeah.
But I mean, I just wanted to follow Judy Greer. Like, could we just follow
right,
her character?
We
like,
barely get to know her.
I'd like to see her go through the airport and be on an airplane. And like, what does she do? All we know is that she does something. She works with some kind of machine for a corporation that like makes machines that vacuum out blood, which apparently Brett Gelman's character finds sexy.
Which is weird.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very bizarre. That whole, I don't even understand why that. Yeah, if we had a movie that was about her, then we would mm-hmm. barely have to see Brett Gelman and probably would have been better, though who knows?
Poor Brett Gelman, we're just shitting on him.
I mean, okay, oh, he God. Is like, I don't know, it's just like, it's a very an aggressive. He plays very aggressive characters, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't. Mm-hmm. He just plays assholes, and sometimes that's helpful in the like, you know, just a tiny little bit of
right,
that to like
dose.
Flavor
yeah.
the
yeah.
dish with and something seasoning. That you would not want to want, like just eat. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you know, I'm trying to think of a good seasoning thing, but it's like something that you use a little bit of, like maybe like a
cayenne pepper.
Sure, yeah. You can't like it's a little aggressive, and you need to put a little bit less in it so that you can still enjoy the flavor without it needing to. But you don't want to just eat cayenne pepper with like a little bit of like green beans or something. I don't fucking know. It's just like it is. He does a great job at playing assholes. It's
oh,
just
yeah.
like you don't want to make a movie about the character he plays. He's mm-hmm. way better as an antagonist. Like that character just works a lot better as an antagonist and kind of like a stand-in for all of toxic masculinity. But like you don't want to watch a movie that's just like this is what toxic masculinity is, but also like it's so like played up to the nth degree, almost like it doesn't even seem real either. So it's not like you really understand where it's coming from, or you're like, oh, he was abused. You know, like it's like not even that, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, he's just mean, I guess.
And you know what, maybe, who knows, maybe there's a percentage of people who are going to listen to this and be like, well, these two idiots just didn't get it.
I mean,
like, maybe you love this movie,
please leave us a voice
yeah,
message.
I would like to know why.
I actually would yeah genuinely like to know why. I mean, the ratings on all the things
are very poor.
Yeah, I think we are definitely in the majority with this decision mm-hmm. on this movie, but
I think it's got a 55 percent on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, and then I think it was like a 4.7 out of 10 on IMDb. Mm-hmm. And 3 stars on Canopy,
yep,
which
yep.
I guess is probably the highest if you average it out.
Probably.
But I think that yeah. it might, who knows, it could just be because they do like 2-3, like they don't do points. I don't know. Maybe just one person was like, yeah, this was not good, but I'll just give it a 3 stars. No one else rated it. but yeah, it's, I don't know. Is there anything else
no.
to say about this movie?
No.
We're done. Okay.
We're done.
We don't recommend it.
Let's be done. Yeah. No, it can stay in the annals of 2017 for
yeah.
good.
I guess just watch Lemonade Beyonce's.
Yeah. There you go. Or Lemonade Mouth, the Disney Channel original movie.
Oh,
I can't
nice.
Say as it's good or not, but it's a thing that exists that
and
you can watch.
That's the only Lemonade things I can think of. I'm sure. Go support your local lemonade stand.
There you go. Drink some lemonade.
Yeah, I don't know. Frozen lemonade. That's not too bad. but yeah, don't watch this movie unless you really, it's this, unless this sounds really cool listening to this and you're like, this is exactly exactly what I love about movies. So
it's not even so bad. It's good. It's just a slog to get through.
It's definitely not. If you want to see a bad movie, this is not a good one. Like a fun bad movie, no.
Like I'm not. I hate to say, but if you had the chance, if you had the choice between this movie and like Not Cool, watch Not Cool.
I would definitely say you are not being like holding a gun to your head, yeah, so do not watch either of them.
No, don't watch either of them. But like if you were given the choice, if you only had those two to pick from.
If someone then just don't watch a movie. There are better things
Read a book. Or write a better movie.
I don't know. I if you really were like gun to your head, I would actually maybe say this one, but just because I truly don't think we can ever watch a movie worse than Not Cool. But this one, you know, it's competitive. It's competitive.
That's
for
true.
Sure.
That's true.
Because this one, I mean, this one just has a lot more like really good actors. So
You're right.
Yeah. And but yeah, no, they are comparable. I think it's just this one has more like people that I like.
Yes.
Okay. What are we gonna rate this? What, you go first?
Oh God. A big fat goose egg. I just don't.
You're like, I'm not even doing
I don't even care anymore. I'm done. I just want to be done. Okay. I didn't like it at all.
I'm going to rate this sour.
Yes, it's a very sour lemon.
Yeah. It's not cool also. like not cool. I'll just stay with the form. I'll give it a 15, and this is kind of like the, I don't know, actually, okay, you know what, I try to do it based on the blind character, I'll give it a 20/20. Judy Greer's character is like not in the movie, so she doesn't like fall into the absolute worst stereotypes about blind people, because she's true. Not really in the movie very much. We see her read Braille and have a cane hook and like break up with a guy who sucks, so I mean, all those are like smart things to do, I guess.
Judy Greer's got it going on,
and she has like a hot guy. Conrad was saying that she was dating someone hot when we see her crossing the street with someone.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So it ends well for her then.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Good.
So there you go. So I'm giving it a 20/20 because I'm not going to give it worse than that. I don't think it's a very good movie, but the fact that the blind character is actually not that bad makes me not give it too terrible. I mean, 20/20, I guess that's the new... It's very sad. I feel like if 2020 is my baseline now of like, well, all movies get 20/20, and then if they do better than that, if they have a good blind character. Anyway, yeah. Okay, that was Lemon. We're done. We did it. So sad. What were you blindsided by? Let's do something fun.
Yes, maybe. something fun and positive.
Yeah, is that what you brought, or did you bring something sad but also important?
No, I did bring something
okay,
fun.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I did. So I have brought a book.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Something super fun. I'm actually not quite finished with it yet. I'm about halfway through.
Nice.
But it is super fun, and it's just been... I'm so eager to like go on a break at work or get on the bus or whatever, so ooh, I can listen to my audiobook, you know?
Nice.
So I am bringing The Rise of Kiyoshi.
Okay.
By F.C. Yee. And if that name sounds really familiar to you, yes, I'm talking about Avatar Kiyoshi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So these are the first, as far as I know, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, these are the first, because there's two. There's The Rise of Kiyoshi, and then there's In the Shadow of Kiyoshi. So these are the first two actual like novel books.
Nice.
In the Avatar universe, because there's a slew of comics, which are great. I enjoy the comics very much. But these are actual books. So, nice. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it. The stories are more mature and adult without being filled with like sex, drugs, and cursing.
Nice.
Because those things do not make a story more adult. But I feel like these books are for us, like the people who grew up with Avatar and who are much older and who are, you know, who still love that universe, but maybe are looking for something that is a little bit more adult.
Nice.
In nature. And I'm just enraptured by the story. It's amazing. We get to find out basically Kiyoshi's backstory. And this was written in partnership with DiMartino, Brian DiMartino, as well. So he had approval
officially sanctioned.
Officially sanctioned. So he had approval on like the outline of the story, basically.
Nice.
But I think Yi does an amazing job at defining these characters, at playing around in this world that is already made. You know, this world is already like established.
Right.
But he is injecting himself into it, basically, without turning everything, you know, upside down.
Nice.
Which is good, because I don't necessarily think that you need to be shackled, you know, to something, basically. Like, I think this is what a lot of those new Star Wars movies have gotten wrong. You know, right. like you can still have, and maybe what The Last Jedi got right, controversial opinion. Anyway, you can still have, like, this world, this pre-constructed world, but you can play around in it.
Right.
Basically. And, you know, and we learned that, like, Kyoshi is an orphan, and she, the whole conflict of the book so far is basically, like, is she the Avatar or not? Because she gets taken in by these people who are trying to find the new Avatar. And they think they found the new Avatar, a boy named Yun, until something, an inciting incident happens.
Ooh.
And Kyoshi has to save everyone, basically. Like I said, I don't want to spoil it. But, God, it's so good. It's so good. It's got bending. It's got air bison. It's got actual
all the important things.
It's got like pirates. It's got actual air nomads, because this is before the genocide, basically. So you get to meet like air nomads, and they're amazing people. And the story is just, it's set up so well, and it just feels like an extended episode of Avatar, basically.
Nice.
So I can't speak highly enough about it, but that is the first book in the series, or trilogy, duology, however many he's going to write, is called The Rise of Kyoshi by F.E. Yi, and I'm listening to it on Libby.
Nice.
Find it there.
And so you have it for 3 weeks. Are you going to get it on Audible?
I might. If it turns out to be a really good book that I want to hear again, I will probably end up getting them on Audible, to be honest. The narrator also is really great. She does an excellent job.
Awesome. That's really cool. Nice. Mine is How to Read a Book. I've been taking Braille classes.
So yes.
I've just been really enjoying it. It's a dying art form. It's something that, Melissa, you have slightly more experience. Oh, I mean, definitely more experience coming up to the podcast than I did, because I'd never done any Braille learning. But I have, we're getting into Braille 2 now.
Oh, so heck,
got all these, the...
So you know the alphabet now.
Yeah, I know the alphabet. Yes. And now I'm learning all the little words, like, and all the ways in which Braille has, like, kind of like the shorthand. Braille is what Braille 2 is for the uninitiated, I guess. It is really, I'm just really enjoying it, and especially now that we're doing contractions, because you can read things so quickly. And I guess for me it's really cool, because I've never, like, learning to read when I was a kid was really traumatizing, because I was an undiagnosed blind person and I couldn't see, and I, like, would get really bad headaches, no one would believe me, I don't know, it's terrible. And because of that, I've had a vendetta against reading ever since. And now it feels like, for the first time, I actually have that, like, power back of, like, having, like, actually learning to read for the first time. And it's funny, because my Braille teacher talked about how she had learned how to, like, read, well, she has more of a progressive condition, and so she was, like, at first it was learning Braille and was kind of getting, like, frustrated, and had, like, I think she was, like, reading it through with her eyes when she first did as a kid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, which is, yeah, I think, what you were talking about doing.
Yep, exactly. Same thing.
Which, yeah, and then, but she had, like, been able to read when she was younger, but then she stopped being able to, and then she was talking about it being kind of frustrated to learn to read again. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess for me, this is the first time I'm ever really getting to learn how to read for real in a way that's accessible to me. So, but I mean, obviously, all experiences with Braille are valid. Mm-hmm. But it's just an interesting thing, kind of like being 28 years old and, like, actually feeling like for the first time I could start reading things instead of just listening to them. And, like, it is weird too, because I don't know how to spell so many words. But luckily, having a blind teacher is really nice, because then we can kind of commiserate about, like, you know, we were talking about SSI and stuff.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, it is a lot more. I always appreciate. I feel like the Braille teachers at the Commission for the Blind are both blind. So I think Braille teachers are slightly more likely to be blind, just
from
very anecdotal things. But but yeah, I really have enjoyed learning how to read Braille, and I recommend anyone who who might benefit from learning Braille. It's cool. It is a dying art form. So I'm just like, now I gotta, like, every single restaurant or museum we ever go to be like, do you have a Braille? Like, because, you know, one out of every 300 places will have it. So.
Well, honestly, you're really inspiring me. Like, I who knows? I might take a Braille again.
Oh my god,
we'll
can both Braille, get Braillers Braille and buddies. We can, like, write letters to each other.
Yes.
That'd be so fun.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Now I just need to get convince the Commission for the Blind to, like, give me one of those Braille displays, because they're so expensive.
Right? Oh my god. Crazy expensive.
So mm-hmm. expensive. Mm-hmm. Disabled tax, but hopefully the government can give it to me so I don't have to pay $2,000 or whatever.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I think the weird sounds coming from outside, don't know if they're being picked up by the mic, but maybe those are our cue to wrap up the podcast.
Sounds like a plan.
This was I feel bad now we're doing all these short episodes on accident, right? Oh, you know what? Actually, come to think of it, there's one more thing we need to do.
Oh, Melissa, yes.
What are we doing next week?
Speaking of short episodes, I think we haven't watched a documentary in a little while.
Ooh, so, and I always bring them, so this
that's
is great.
True. So I was kind of surfing around on Canopy, because I'm almost never on there. I need to be on there more often, because there's oodles of stuff to watch on Canopy.
Yeah.
But I found a documentary that I think would be really interesting.
What is it called?
It is called Blind Faith.
Okay.
And it is about a father and his journey into blindness, essentially.
Nice.
So it's very short. It's like 52 minutes.
Okay.
It's very short.
Let's see if we can make a podcast longer than that.
Yeah, I know, right? We've done that before.
Yeah, we have.
But yeah, no, it just sounds like it could be really interesting. And so I want to give it a shot. So that's nice. The documentary Blind Faith. It's streaming on Canopy.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that. This is exciting. This is, I really don't know. Did I pick Blindsight? I don't remember now. I think I've picked a lot of documentaries.
You've picked some really good documentaries.
But I'm excited to see, I'm excited for Melissa pick of a documentary.
Yay!
Next, okay, what do you too. Always pick?
Shit.
Well, there you go. And I just picked Lemon. So, you know, there you go. We're switching roles for this month.
Yep.
Or whatever. And now this new schedule, I don't even know how time works anymore. Our theme song is by Lucia Pisano. Our YouTube is Citizen White Cane Podcast. Our Twitter is White Cane Pod. Our Facebook and our Instagram are both Citizen White Cane. If you'd like to send us an email, our address is citizenwhitecanepod@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave us a voice message, there's a link in the show notes.
There's only one thing I want to know.
Okay.
If you like this movie, why?
Yeah,
just
why?
Tell us
just
why.
Tell us why.
That's all I want to. I'm not shaming you for if this is like your favorite movie or you love this or it really resonated with you. That's fine. Just want to know why.
And also, if you've ever seen a movie with Brett Gelman playing a likable character or anyone that you have even the slightest bit of empathy for, I would also like to know about that. So
yeah,
send those
our way.
Yeah. Or if there's some short movie you want us to watch that you think we could talk about for 2 hours, we would love to know about that. and come back next week. We are going to be doing Blind Faith.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. See if it's good.
Yep, there you go.
That's a good pod.
There you go.
Yeah. We will see you then. Bye.
Bye.